Moving on to the Book of Romans. The Book of Romans is probably the most frequently used and the most frequently misunderstood book of the Bible when it comes to Protestants claiming that the Bible teaches justification by faith alone. The key to understanding the teaching of Romans is the point we covered in the book of Galatians, specifically Galatians chapter 2, verse 14, where St. Paul makes it extremely clear that when he uses the phrase works of the law, he's referring to the Old Testament system with circumcision and all of its other requirements. St. Paul in the book of Romans is emphasizing to the Jews that they do not need to continue to observe this old law in order to have salvation. If one does not understand that that's what St. Paul means by the phrase works of the law, then one will fall into drastic errors, as Martin Luther did, in his totally false interpretation of Romans 3:28, where St. Paul says, quote, "We conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law." In Romans 3:28, St. Paul is again emphasizing to the Jews that it's by the religion and the faith of Jesus Christ that they will be justified, not by continuing to observe this Old Testament system. And that's why in Romans chapter 3, verse 1, St. Paul opens up the entire discussion with this, quote, "What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision?" End quote. So he opens up that whole discussion with a discussion of circumcision, because again his topic is to emphasize to them that the old law is no longer obligatory. This is made even more clear when we consider the fact that the book of Romans is filled with passages which show that man is not justified by faith alone, and that you can lose your salvation based on what you do. For instance, in Romans chapter 2, verses 2 to 3, speaking of a number of mortal sins, St. Paul says, quote, "The judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God?" End quote. He says that the judgment of God is against those who commit such things. He then says that those who do such things shall not escape the judgment of God. What things? Well, at the end of the last chapter, Romans 1, he gave a list of mortal sins, including fornication, covetousness, wickedness, etc. So St. Paul is making it very clear at the beginning of Romans 2 that those who do such things will not enter heaven. That's why St. Paul says in Romans chapter 2, verses 5 to 6, speaking of the day of judgment, quote, "God, who will render to every man according to his deeds," end quote. He will render to every man according to his works or deeds, not on the basis of faith alone. St. Paul continues in Romans 2, verse 7, quote, "To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life." So, eternal life is for those who continue in well-doing. He continues, Romans chapter 2, verses 8 to 10, "But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile, but glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile." How clear does it have to be? St. Paul makes it totally clear that eternal life is not given by faith alone, but for those who do good, and that eternal death is for every man, including believers, who do evil or commit grave sins and die in that state. He's making this very clear near the beginning of the book of Romans, so that heretics cannot deceive people by their perverse explanations of his later words, which are clearly made in the context of trying to hammer home to the Jews that they do not have to continue to observe the Old Testament system known as, quote, the works of the law. And that's why he says in Romans 5:5, quote, "The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us." Here we see in Romans 5:5 that those who are justified have the love of God poured into their hearts. This is the Catholic view of justification, which is that the justified are truly interiorly sanctified. In Romans 6:12 and verse 23 we read, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Obviously, this only makes sense if the commission of mortal sins causes one to lose his justification and put him in a state worthy of eternal death. It doesn't make sense in a Protestant theology. That's why St. Paul goes on to say in Romans chapter 8, verses 12 to 13, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." Speaking to, quote, brethren, that is, believers, he says that if they commit grave sins of the flesh, they will die eternally, be damned. That totally contradicts justification by faith alone, once saved, always saved, etc. We already saw in Romans chapter 10 how the verse that Protestants like to quote regarding if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him up from the dead, thou shalt be saved, that Romans 10 is actually quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 30 verse 14. And Deuteronomy 30, 14 and following speak of doing the word of God and of keeping the commandments. Thus, St. Paul's reference to Deuteronomy shows that to him and to his listeners, it was understood that to believe unto salvation means that one must also follow and keep and do the works that are necessary for salvation. So even in Romans 10:9-10, one of the favorite verses of the Protestants, we again see that the context disproves their false understanding and proves the Catholic understanding that works are a part of justification. In Romans chapter 11, we come to a verse which totally devastates Protestant theology. Romans 11:20-22. Speaking of the Jews, quote, "Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God, on them which fell, severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off." Again, how clear does it have to be? Romans chapter 11 clearly speaks of the Jews being cut off, and then St. Paul says in verse 22 that you too, that is believing Christians, will also be cut off unless you continue in goodness. This totally refutes justification by faith alone and once saved, always saved. All of this shows that St. Paul is not remotely teaching what the Protestants think in Romans. And in Romans chapter 4, a chapter that the Protestants frequently like to quote, the emphasis is, once again, to refute the false idea that the works of the old law are necessary to justify a person. And if that's not understood, people fall into drastic mistakes. St. Paul used the words faith and alone more than any other New Testament writer. Yet never once did he put the two together to teach justification by faith alone, even though he had every opportunity to do so. The Bible is the inspired word of God. The only place where faith and alone are combined in the Bible is in James chapter 2, verse 24, where justification by faith alone is denounced as a false idea. With all of these facts, we can see once again what a tragic and devastating mistake millions of Protestants have made in misunderstanding the book of Romans and falsely instructing others on this book.